What's up, guys? Welcome to another episode of Wrestling World. As always, I'm your host, Austin Boyer. And before we get into tonight's episode, a few quick podcast shout-outs. All right, guys, check out the Cult Film Companion podcast, the Manic Pixie Weirdo podcast, the Fan in the Van podcast, the Crime Divers podcast, the Sense of Shelf podcast, the Two Mexicans, One Mic podcast, the Heel Truth, the Cigar Store Idiots podcast, Your Daily Writing Habit, the I Seen It podcast, the Fandalorians, the Hashing It Out podcast, the Geek Gauntlet podcast, the Smoker's Lounge Premium 6 podcast, 8750 podcast, Air Quote Wall podcast, the Sons and Shadows cast, the Kane with the Boys, I Scream, You Scream for Movies, Two Men, No Hope, The Story of My Pet, the Haunted Tales podcast, the Quad Pro Quo podcast, Films and Firm Nation podcast, Blog Access One-on-One, Bolt Talk by Joe, the Mr. Gentleman's podcast, and last but not least, the Chime In podcast. All these podcasts can be found on Apple, Spotify, Good Pods, and wherever you stream your podcasts, so be sure to check them out. All right, guys. I just finished watching the Elimination Chamber event. It just ended about 5 minutes ago. And we have a little bit to talk about. A little bit more than I expected to talk about. We started off the night with the Women's Elimination Chamber match. This match was pretty decent. It was okay. To be honest, I was on the cell phone through most of that match, so I didn't get to catch it all. But from what I've seen, it wasn't a bad match. But all in all, Asuka picks up the win. She will go on to face Bianca Belair at WrestleMania, which I expect to be, as Sheamus would say, a banger after banger after banger type of match, because it's about time Asuka gets a push. Now, I'm a huge fan of Bianca Belair, and I said that when she came to the main roster, she would be a huge star. But as I, you know, read the tweets on Twitter, a lot of people are saying Bianca Belair needs a character change, that she needs some type of new direction, that maybe she is getting stale. I don't necessarily think that. And everybody will have their own opinion. Maybe some feel that she's been champion for longer than she should. Again, I don't feel that way, because I am a Bianca Belair fan, so I don't know why anybody else would feel differently about her, because I think she's doing great. I think her character has been doing well, and I think she's made the most out of what she's been given. Let's be honest, she hasn't been in the greatest storylines, but every match she has had, it has been pretty decent. As for Asuka, we haven't seen Asuka on top in a good while. Her booking has been stale as well. When Asuka first came to the main roster, she was one of the top female competitors, coming in on an undefeated streak from NXT. And then all of a sudden, her booking became stale. After she lost to Charlotte Flair at WrestleMania, her booking just kind of went downhill from there, in my opinion. Yes, she's won the Women's Championship after that, but again, her booking has continued to be stale. And now maybe, you know, once we see Asuka versus Bianca, maybe her booking will change. Maybe she'll have a better direction, especially under her return gimmick as Kana. So, I'm hoping there's a new direction for both. You know, I like the Bianca gimmick, but, you know, if some people feel that she has become stale, maybe she will be in some more interesting storylines as time goes on. And we'll see what, you know, Triple H can do in creative. But all in all, I'm excited for this match. I think it's going to be a good match. These two females are the top competitors in their division. I think having these two go against each other is great booking, because they are top-notch competitors. They always put on a show. And I think both ladies will come out on top after this match, regardless of who the winner is. But we'll see. The next match, I can't say it was a banger, guys. It was Bobby Lashley versus Brock Lesnar. Again, much like the first match they had, I expected more out of this match. I expected there to be a lot more physicality. There was not. This was a typical Brock Lesnar match with, you know, a dozen F5s, a few spears, and that's pretty much the end. A typical Brock Lesnar match, that's how it goes. You can kind of compare this to the first match they had. But much like the first match, this second match they had, there was no clear winner. Bobby Lashley won by disqualification. He had the Hurt Lock in. Brock Lesnar hit a low blow, and the match was over. Bobby Lashley wins by disqualification. Now, Bray Wyatt stated last night on SmackDown that he is going after whoever comes out on top of this match. So many of us were, you know, paying close attention to this match. We had our eyes glued to the TV, because we were all curious to see if Bray Wyatt would go up against Lashley or Lesnar. And many people are confused now, because with, you know, Brock Lesnar coming, you know, not winning the match, but coming out on top and, you know, standing, you know, becoming the one that is standing alone, and he makes out alive during this match, but Bobby Lashley is the winner. Who does Bray Wyatt face? You know, who is he going to go after? You know, if I had to pick, I would say it'll be Bray Wyatt versus Bobby Lashley. It would make sense. But Bobby Lashley, you know, did look kind of weak during this match. You know, like I said, this wasn't much of a match, but for Brock Lesnar to hit that many F5s on Lashley, you know, with the low blow at the end, leaving Lashley, you know, way there outside, it doesn't make Lashley look good. I don't know what direction WWE is headed towards. With the information that we got from Bray Wyatt, he's going after the winner. I don't know, you know, what they'll do about the Brock Lesnar versus Lashley feud. Maybe this is their way of ending the feud. I don't know. But there isn't no clear direction. We don't know if this feud will continue. I hope it doesn't, because, you know, after these two matches they've had, I think a lot of the expectations were high for this match, but again, it was a letdown, much like the first. You know, for two UFC fighters, for not UFC fighters, you know, Brock Lesnar's a former UFC fighter, but for two MMA fighters, you know, two athletic guys, you expected more, especially for a Bobby Lashley match. But this ended up being a typical Brock Lesnar match. But I just expected more, being that this was the second match, being that the first match was so much of a letdown. But honestly, I'm just hoping they can put this feud to bed. I don't want to see a third match. I'm hoping that there isn't a third match. I look forward to whoever Bray Wyatt faces, in hopes that that match will be better than what we saw tonight. I think there's, you know, there's just confusion. There's no ending result to this match. This is only confusion on, you know, what's going on as far as the storyline between Brock Lesnar and Bobby Lashley go. what exactly are they going to do? Hopefully there's some explanation in the press conference. I'm sure Bray Wyatt would be brought up during the press conference to either Lashley or Lesnar, whoever is involved in the conference. So we should get some explanation here soon. Hopefully, you know, because there's definitely some explaining there. But speaking of feuds that should be put to bed and never to be seen again on WWE TV, that needs to be the Judgment Day versus Edge. You know, we've seen this storyline for months and months and months ever since the Judgment Day has turned on Edge. Now, tonight, we've seen Edge and Beth Phoenix versus Rhea Ripley and Finn Balor. This match, it was pretty decent. It was pretty nice to see Beth Phoenix in the ring having a match. The Glamazon, she looks great as always. Rhea Ripley doing her thing. I didn't care for the outsider interference on Dominic Mysterio. I'm not a big fan of Dom's heel character. I can't get into it. But it was cool to see Beth and Edge in the ring together, teaming up. This is Edge's, I believe, first match since returning for the 100th time. During the storyline, by the way. But I am hoping that, you know, they can move forward from this storyline. I'm so tired of seeing the Judgment Day and Edge in a storyline together. Aside from that, you have Dominic Mysterio in a storyline with Edge in them, but also with Rey Mysterio as well, so that, you know, it's just all over the place with Judgment Day, in my opinion. Some confusion there. I think, you know, I think the Judgment Day, they need a new direction. I don't know if it's because WWE doesn't know what to do with the Judgment Day, or, you know, they just want to, they want to drag this story along because, you know, it's Edge. Edge is involved. Edge is a big star. You know, they need something for him leading into WrestleMania. But I'm hoping that this is the end. We've seen so much of this. As for Dom Mysterio, if they're going to do Dom versus Rey at some point, then go for it. I am so tired of seeing these segments of, you know, Dom going to Rey's house, Dom racing Rey on a racetrack. It doesn't make sense because we haven't seen these two in a ring together. This has been going on for months. There's been no setup towards a match. We have Dom going after Rey, but then Rey's facing Karrion Kross. You know, Dom's involved in the Edge storyline. It's just all over the place, and there's no direction with that either. Like I said, if they're going to do Rey versus Dom at WrestleMania, okay. But there's been no major buildup towards Rey versus Dom. It's just been kind of nonsense to me as far as, you know, storyline go and creativity. I think they could do a much better job. Seeing them race on a track together, I think is stupid. They had something going with Dom, you know, showing up at the house. But then they decided to do it again. And now it's just these backstage segments. You know, Dom's taking Rhea to dinner on Valentine's Day. Dom's doing this, Dom's doing that. But what's funny is they're on separate brands. So while, you know, Dom's doing this on Raw, Rey Mysterio is facing Karrion Kross, and there's no mention of the Judgment Day. There's no mention of Dom. So I just feel that they need a much more direction. If they're not going to do Rey Mysterio and Dom at all, then they need to just end this feud right now. I can't take Dom serious as a heel. They've just, maybe if he wasn't in Judgment Day, maybe I could take it more serious. But he just looks goofy to me as a heel. I can't take him serious. He looks too much like a little kid. If anything, they should put him back down in NXT where he could learn to begin with. honestly, you know, Dom's in-ring work as far as, you know, being an athlete, a performer, I think Dom is good. His mic work could use some work, especially as a heel. This is his first time being heel. I get it. But he definitely needs some work. He's just not convincing enough to me. And I know this has been going on for a while. I know he's been heel for a while. And you're supposed to improve when it comes to being a heel. And I don't see no improvement. And, you know, some of you may disagree with me. I don't know. But I don't see no major improvement when it comes to Dom. But who knows? You know, I don't know. But anyway, good to see Edge and, you know, Beth in the ring together. I'm hoping they got something planned for Edge at WrestleMania. I know Edge doesn't have that much longer. I know he doesn't have that many matches left in him. He did say that he is going to retire soon. So we'll see what happens. But next up, guys, we have the Men's Elimination Chamber match. Seth Rollins, Montez Ford, Damian Priest, Johnny Gargano, Austin Theory, Bronson Reed. It was a pretty decent match. A lot of these guys had a star moment in this match. We've seen Montez Ford jump off the top of the Elimination Chamber onto all the men outside the ring. We've seen Johnny Gargano hit a Hurricane Rana on Seth Rollins off the top of the Elimination Chamber pod. Bronson Reed did his thing. The one thing that surprised me about this match was that, well, two things that surprised me. One was that, you know, Bronson Reed was coming in, I believe, towards the end. I thought they would have him come in at the beginning and him, you know, have him kind of dominate the match as the, you know, the big heel. As we've seen in the past with the Elimination Chamber matches, you know, but surprisingly, he was later to be in the match and he was the first one eliminated. So that was a big surprise to me. But this match, it was great from start to finish. I think this was match of the night, aside from the main event. But I did enjoy it. Up until the end, you know. It looked like Montez Ford was actually injured. Seth Rollins got carb stomped on the outside floor. It looked like Montez Ford was actually hurt. You know, this looked legitimate. And a lot of people were cheering for Montez Ford. But he shocked us all. You know, he sold the hell out of that injury. You know, he made it look legit, like he was hurt. But they only did this so that they could open the pod and have Logan Paul come in and ruin the whole match for everyone. Now, You know, like I said, I enjoyed the match. I didn't like the ending. Logan Paul would curb stomp Seth Rollins. Theory would hit A-Town down. Theory wins. Now, this match could have gone so many different ways. I would much rather have been, you know, have a clean finish. You know, Theory picked up the win if that was their plan. But then have Logan Paul come in and attack Seth Rollins, setting up Rollins versus Logan Paul. But now, you know, Logan Paul interfered, costing Seth Rollins the United States Championship. And now that will set up Logan Paul versus Seth Rollins. Which means that the comments that Seth Rollins made about Logan Paul in the interview was definitely a work. All this has led up to the build-up between Logan versus Seth at WrestleMania. I'm a fan of Logan Paul in WWE. I am. But I honestly feel like, you know, Logan Paul shouldn't be facing guys like Seth Rollins. Logan Paul shouldn't be facing Roman Reigns just yet. And I do feel that Seth Rollins deserves a little more than just to face Logan Paul. I do feel that he deserves some type of title match. You know, this guy has been putting guys over constantly. He put Cody Rhodes over. He put Bray Wyatt over. You know, he's put Roman over. He's done a lot, and I think he deserves a little more than just, you know, to face Logan Paul. I do expect the match to be pretty decent. Seth Rollins matches always are. The last few matches I've seen of Logan Paul were actually pretty good. I am impressed. But I do feel that it's too soon to put him in these type of matches. But I get he is a high level performer. Logan Paul is, you know, boxer, whatever you want to call him. A big YouTube star. The kids love him. So I see where WWE is going right now. But I do feel that this match, they could have done way differently. They could have went about it way different. Especially a match that good that started off so good, but then ended so badly. So much like the Lesnar and Lashley match, I had high expectations for this match. I had high expectations for the ending of this match. I actually picked Seth Rollins to capture the United States Championship. Now this leaves the question, who is facing Theory at WrestleMania? I don't know. It would kind of be cool to see Montez Ford. I have heard rumors that Montez Ford should have been going, or should be going, on a singles push. And with the performance he put on tonight, I could definitely see WWE giving him a singles push. Because let's be honest, he's the most talented of the two Street Profits between Angelo Dawkins and Montez Ford. I think Montez should have a singles push at some point. But we'll see what happens. I think he is the most likely candidate to face Austin Theory. If not, then maybe Johnny Gargano. I think that'd be a pretty good match. I think Johnny Gargano did have a solid match in this match as well. He had some moments in this match. That's what I liked about this match, is that each one of those competitors had a certain moment in this match. Even Damian Priest was on fire, and I'm not the biggest fan of Damian Priest. But it was a solid match up until the ending. I will give it that. I just felt that they could have had a much more cleaner finish. But if I had to rate this match, I'd give it maybe a B. I'd give it an A if it was just for the finish. But it is what it is. Last but not least, guys, we have the main event. Roman Reigns versus Sami Zayn for the Undisputed Universal Championship. Montreal was on fire for Sami Zayn. Sami Zayn blew the roof off the building. This match was great from start to finish. I know most of you wanted a different outcome, but most of us expected the outcome, with Roman Reigns retaining, as we all expected. But this match had moments. It had spears, it had Superman punches. A lot of the times we didn't expect Sami Zayn to kick out. He kicked out and kept continuing to fight, putting on a great performance. There were moments in this match where I thought this match would end after the spear, after several spears, but, you know, Sami kept on fighting. Even after Jimmy Uso interfered and hit the super kicks and the frog splash, I expected this match to end, but it didn't. It kept on going. This match, to me, reminded me of Rocky IV, when Rocky faced Ivan Drago, and people blew the roof off of Rocky, but they booed Ivan Drago. It was much like this, you know, Sami Zayn being Rocky and Roman Reigns being Drago, because that's what it reminded you of. Sami Zayn, much like Rocky, was the underdog. Sami Zayn, much like Rocky, was the prize fighter, the one we all wanted to win. But unfortunately, Roman Reigns retains. but this match was great, much better than I expected it to be. And I believe this is Sami Zayn's first opportunity at having a real championship match. Most of us were hoping for, you know, Sami to walk out the winner, especially in his hometown of Montreal. That didn't happen. WWE had teased Cody Rhodes versus Sami Zayn this past Monday, but it looks like we will be getting Roman Reigns versus Cody Rhodes as expected. Now, there is the possibility of it being a triple threat match, especially given Sami Zayn's performance tonight. It was a great performance. But we'll see what happens. As far as I know, it will be Roman Reigns versus Cody Rhodes at WrestleMania as the main event. Whether Sami Zayn gets involved in this, I don't know. But for right now, I could honestly see Sami Zayn versus Kevin Owens. No, so Sami Zayn and Kevin Owens versus the Usos at WrestleMania, as the Usos will also need a tag team to go up against on the grandest stage of them all. And it would make so much sense for, you know, Sami and KO to reunite, as many of us would want to see. They kind of, you know, reunited tonight, but I feel like they could have did more. They could have at least hugged. You know, they could have gave us something, right? But, they're taking this slow. It's a slow process. But in the end, we will see Sami Zayn and Kevin Owens reunite, I'm sure. But this match, like I said, it was great. There was bruises on Sami. I thought his wife played a great part in this match, with the worried look and the worriedness on her face. I thought she did well. Sami Zayn put on a great performance in his first ever title defense. This type of match had you on the edge of your seats too. Like, I did not expect this match to go on for as long as it did. I did not expect this match to be good for as long as it was. I honestly expected Roman Reigns to bulldoze Sami Zayn. That did not happen. Sami Zayn put on a fight. It was a good performance. Now, one thing you could take away from this match is that, one, Sami Zayn should have another championship match in the future. I would like to see a rematch at some point. And two, you know, the ending of this match plays a big role on what could happen going forward. You know, they continue to tease the breakup of the Bloodline. We did almost see Jey Uso turn on Roman Reigns tonight. Roman handing Jey Uso the chair. But right as Jey Uso was going to either attack Roman or attack Sami, Sami accidentally hit Jey Uso with the spear, and then Roman picks up the win. But a few things this match told us was that, one, Sami Zayn should have another championship match, and two, the Bloodline is close to a breakup. Now, I am surprised that Solo Sikoa did not get involved. We've seen both Usos get involved, actually. Jimmy taking Roman's side, Jay taking Sami's side, or it seems like he's taking Sami's side. We didn't actually see him attack Sami or Roman, but we kind of could tell whose side he's on. But all in all, this does tease the end of the breakup heading towards WrestleMania. We will have to see what happens this Friday night on SmackDown as far as the status of the Bloodline. But the Elimination Chamber event altogether, guys, I think it was pretty decent. Just for the Men's Elimination Chamber and the main event itself, those are the only two that stick out for me. Like I said, Lashley versus Lesnar could have been a lot better than what it was. I had high expectations for that match. I was actually excited for that match, but it sucked. So we'll see what happens, guys. But anyways, I just want to give you guys this quick review on the event. If you want to subscribe to my podcast, I will be posting the link below. It's only 99 cents a month, guys. It would mean a lot to me if you did, but if you don't want to, that's fine. But I hope you guys enjoyed this episode. Have a nice night. God bless and good night. Also, I will not be posting a new episode this Friday, being that I had actually posted two this week within the last few days, so I will be taking a week off. But be sure to check out some of the older episodes. Anyways, guys, have a nice night. I will see you guys in 2 weeks. God bless and good night.